Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming online, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Focus, Drink Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, sparkling water with a spark. Titans Monday, Titans annihilate the Kansas City Chiefs. My dad, for years, has been a, at the Titans game, hey, you know, if they get another first down here, you ready to go? Like, Dad, there's 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and they're down by 10. Yeah, but like, if they get another first down, like, you ready to?
No.
You ready to go? That's how he's been for years and years and years. And I remember when Peyton Manning and the Colts would come in, and they always used to play the Colts in September, and it'd be hot, and, you know, it'd be 90 degrees, and we're on the east side of the stadium where the sun hits.
Uh-huh.
And I remember leaving in, like, the third quarter, because Manning and the Colts were just
rolling,
killing them. And so yesterday, I'm sitting there, like, 9 minutes to go in the game, and I'm like, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready to go. And it's the Chiefs.
Like, this is a beatdown.
And I'm ready to go. So I had a lot of thoughts yesterday. What I do on game days, since we do the pregame show at Rock Bottom, is I will park at the stadium, walk across the bridge, do the pregame show, walk across the bridge, go to the game, then get in my car and go home. And I take my AirPods and I listen to music or whatever. Right now, I'm listening to Joe Buck's book on Audible. But I took my AirPods out for my walk to the, and my AirPods were dead. So there's a lot of thinking that I had to do on my walk from one to the other. And then my walk back and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So other than having the NBA on NBC theme from the 1990s stuck in my head.
I feel like that has perpetually been stuck in your head since the 1990s.
It is. It's a great song. I yesterday was watching the game. I kept thinking on my walk over to Rock Bottom about the Braves making the World Series and about Floyd. And that if Floyd was still on this show, I guarantee you that he would be claiming the Houston Astros. Now, remember, he was the general manager in Houston, and he lived next door to Jeff Bagwell. And he'd be talking, that's my team! Ha ha! Go Astros! I know the owner of the Astros. You don't even know anybody. And you go there and you think, ah, that's my team. That sound about right, Ian?
Sounds about right.
Even though there's no one that we knew that hated baseball more than Floyd?
Fair also.
Do you think that he would watch a Houston Astros Braves World Series game, knowing that I cared? Do you think he'd watch?
That is a good question. He might watch one if there's no football on.
I don't think he would. But I could hear that. Like, so sometimes I know what he's thinking. But then after the game was over, I kept asking myself, what would Floyd say? You know, Floyd was always, whatever side of the yin or the yang I was, he was always kind of the opposite. He was kind of always the hands in the air, everybody stop. You know, whatever. And I joked about the first game where they got crushed by the Cardinals. And I knew that if this were 3 years ago, I'd have been on the air just, they stink, they're awful, they're not going to be any good this year, they're not going to be. And he'd have been like, whoa now. I mean, you know, you got to understand, it's and you know, put out the fire. And I know that if this were 3 years ago, I'd have been on the air talking, Super Bowl, they just beat Buffalo, they beat Kansas City, they out-threw Mahomes, they beat him, they killed him, yes. And I don't know what he would have said. I don't know what he would have said. You know, not that I feel that way today. I think if you want to think that your team can compete for the Super Bowl, you're allowed to think it today. You are allowed to think it. But I don't think the Titans should be the betting favorites in Vegas right now to win the Super Bowl either. And so I asked. I texted his son, I texted Ryan, and I decided I was going to hit Ian with this in live time. Ian, what do you think Floyd's reaction to the last two wins would be?
Well, I do think he probably would have said good wins, and he probably would have tried to give some credit to the coaching staff, I would think, first thing. You know, just, I don't know. I think he would have been pretty enthused. I think after this Kansas City win, he would have been saying good win. Solid win. Everybody played well. Coaches. I don't think he would try and downplay it too much.
So I texted Sean Reese and I texted Ryan. Ryan texted me back, Ryan Porth, and said, never get too high, never get too low, is what he thinks Floyd would have said. Sean said, Remember, we have some good wins in October, but we lost to the Jets this month too. Consistency is key. We are capable of being great, but great teams find a way to do it every single week. Maybe we are there now. I hope we are. He thinks that's what Floyd would have said. You know, got to be. I think he would have totally deflected. So I think he would have, to Ian's point, I thought he would have said great job on the coaches. And I think he would have talked a lot about Kansas City's offensive line. Because I think Kansas City's offensive line is a real problem. You know, in the SEC, everybody gets caught up in quarterbacks and explosive offenses. And you know why Georgia is so much better than everybody else? You see the size of their lines?
They're huge.
I mean, they are just huge. Alabama has been better on the line than your team for the last 15 years because it's so big. And I thought the Chiefs were so bad on the line, offensively and maybe defensively. And he was a defensive lineman, so that's something he would have cared about. I think a lot of his message today would be, none of it matters if they don't beat the Colts. That, I think, would have been his message. None of it matters if they don't beat the Colts. Now, I don't think that that's true. I mean, it's still two AFC wins against great teams. And they can lose to the Colts and they can recover from it and be fine. But I think that would be his message. Because I think that would be his message to the team. Is none of it matters if you don't beat the Colts. So you can say whatever you want. We can talk about, but none of it matters if you don't beat the Colts. That's what I think he would have said. Not that I think that that's exactly what he would have believed. I think he would have been as giddy as any of you about the idea of, hey, this offense looks like it's finding an identity. The defensive line, for the first time in God knows how long, looks like they have the capability of getting to a quarterback. You may have found something special in David Long Jr. at linebacker. Kevin Byard has rebounded from his nightmare season last year. I mean, I think he'd be just as giddy as all of you are. But the message that he would send out, I think, would be, it doesn't matter if you don't beat the Colts. And it reminds me, and I know I've told this story before, but it reminds me of the Sunday that they played Indianapolis in 2018. Winner's in, loser goes home. And Adam Schefter reported that morning that Marcus Mariota was out and Blaine Gabbert was going to start at quarterback. And we did a special show that day. And I'm like, what are they doing? Marcus is out. They got no chance to win. What are they going to do? And he said, hey, I'm not worried about that. Marcus can make any throw. Blaine can make any throw that we're going to ask, that we would have asked Marcus to make. We'll be fine. Blaine can make any throw that we'd ask Marcus to make. And right then and there, I said, I had two choices. I'm about to do about 5 hours of radio with this guy, and I got two choices. One, I can challenge what he just said because it is incredibly stupid, and we all know it. But if I do that, he's going to shut off. And he's going to be like, you don't know, and just sit there and be, okay. And that's going to have to do that for 5 hours. Or I can interpret that as the message that he was giving you, the audience, that day is the message he would give the locker room if he was the GM or if he was the coach. And so as I kept thinking last night about what he would have said, I kept thinking about that and the idea of, just like how Vrabel, and you could tell the message in which he told the players, you know, Ian played the Tannehill clip in the last segment about, yeah, I mean, we haven't done anything yet. And I think it was Byard said, we don't give out Lombardi trophies in October. And A.J. Brown said, we didn't win the Super Bowl today. The message is clear from Vrabel. I think Floyd's message would have been, this is great, but it doesn't matter if you don't beat Indianapolis. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that would have been his message. Just like I know that he doesn't think Blaine Gabbert's good enough to win. But what else are you going to do at that point when you're coaching the team? I'm going to go to the locker room and say, hey, guys, Blaine sucks. I know, let's forfeit. You're not going to do that. And so that's the conclusion I have, is that he would have said, hey, this, you think this is good? And yes, the callers think it's good, and we all had a good. And it doesn't mean anything if you don't beat Indianapolis on Sunday. That's what I think he would have said. Let's go back to your phones. 615-737-1025 on Reaction Monday. It's also Titans Monday. Angel is going to kick us off. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Angel's going to kick us off this hour. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Angel.
Hey, what's up, Jared? Man, first off, tighten up and respects to Floyd, man.
Yep.
But two things, like you said, just two quick things that I'm going to get off and listen. First off, that defense, man, we haven't had pressure on the quarterback in years, man. Shout out to the Nico Autry, Landry, Long, man. Those guys are playing amazing. Of course, Kevin Byard doing his thing back there, like always. And the second is, like you said, man, we just got to go to work. It's the thing that we're known for. We can play down and up to our opponents. We can lose against anybody and beat anybody. But if we just tighten down, man, and just go to work, week in and week out, man, ain't no reason why we can't be, you know, AFC champs or even Super Bowl contenders. So, man, tighten up. Good yep. win.
Thank you, Angel. Yep, thank you, Angel. I agree with half that sentiment, and I disagree with half of it. So the sentiment about the Titans playing up to their opponents and down to their opponents, I think there's something to that because mm-hmm. they've been doing this now for 3 years.
Well, because they beat the Bills and the Chiefs and lost to the Jets.
But there is a flaw with that that I want to get to next.
Okay.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. The other thing about the defensive line I want to get to, because he talked about the defensive line, was it that the defensive line's finally clicking with all these good players, or was it that that Chiefs offensive line is? And bad's the wrong word, because that line's got some decent players. Like, Trey Smith's good. But it takes an offensive line a while to gel. Like, it really does. Like, it takes them a while. You know, the room and the guys and the... And I just feel like there's a lack of chemistry between the line and the quarterback. We always talk about chemistry between quarterbacks and wide receivers. We never talk about the chemistry between the line and the quarterback. And I think there's a lack of chemistry between Mahomes and the line to where they're struggling with trying to figure out what he's going to do. And he's looking down at the rush because he's afraid about what they're going to do and not just trusting his natural ability. Because I'm telling you about that one play, I saw Tyreek Hill running right across the middle of the field. And I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, and I look down and I'm looking for Mahomes to step up and just fire a rocket 17 yards in stride to Hill for him to run with the football for about another 20. And he's sitting out there, you know, trying to cross over dribble back in the back like he's Jason Kidd. And I'm like, well, he can't even see what I'm seeing at the game because he's looking at the rush. So the line, I don't know, but your sentiment about, hey, they showed us they can beat the Bills and they showed us they can beat the Bills and the Chiefs, but they also lost to the Jets. That is a national narrative. They were talking about that on Sunday Night Football last night. I have a theory. Next. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your calls. We'll get back to your texts. Reaction Monday is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and by our friends at Focus. Again, the sparkling water with a spark. Drink Focus. P-H-O-C-U-S. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half-off gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slim, Central Barbecue, Joyland, and East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing. Get your deal at thegamenashville.com/deals.
Third down and 7. Tannehill lofts it up. End zone. Caught. A.J. Brown. Touchdown, Tennessee.
Today or close to there to that pick your poison offense that we talked about in the offseason?
I don't want to say, you know, but I definitely think we moved in the right direction. You know, this is one game. We didn't win the Super Bowl today, so we're not going to get big-headed about one win.
Even though you didn't win the Super Bowl today, it's still back-to-back wins over sure. The top teams in the conference. I mean, do you feel like this is kind of like an opportunity to put the league on notice about what you guys are capable of?
The league's going to do its thing. They're going to say, look out for the Titans. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Bills. But, I mean, for us, it's a week-to-week. It's a week-to-week league, and it's tough, you know. So we got to come in, and we got to go to work every week. So no matter what the game plan is, like, nobody knows who's going to win when you go out there. Like, you can have the perfect game plan, and it can all go wrong. So, like I said, it's a week-to-week league, and we're going to try to stay focused and worry about next week against the Colts. So.
A.J. Brown yesterday, another great game for A.J. Brown. Now, we had a caller that called in that talked about the Titans playing up to their opponents, the mm-hmm. Chiefs and the Bills, playing down to their opponents, and you brought up the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And I said I had a thought on that. And here's the thought. Who didn't play against the Jets?
Julio and A.J.
More importantly.
More specifically, A.J.
A.J. And I do wonder this. If, I mean, everybody can say what they want preseason. What's weird about football is that 8 months out of the year, it's the most popular sport in America, and it's easily the most popular sport in the South. And so we talk football every day, mm-hmm. whether it's on the radio, off the radio, with our friends, at the bar, at the house, we talk football every day. Like every single day, everybody talks football. I mean, Madden Sports comes out with a game once a year. And yet, how often during the draft do they show you, hey, this is what he would look like as a cowboy on Madden? They do it all the time. And so there's a lot of hype for those 8 months. Last games played, 8 months, kick the ball off. And in that, people get these opinions. And they are just, you know, they're just solidified. This is the opinion. This is what it's going to be. This is what. Maybe the top two Heisman candidates coming to the end of the year. DJ Uiagalelei.
There you go.
At Clemson.
Uh-huh.
And Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma.
Two who were benched on Saturday.
On the bench. But they spent 8 months saying these guys. We got stuck in our head that the Titans offense was going to be this unbelievable pick your poison, mix and match. Tannehill should be a top 10 quarterback. And I'm guilty of this too. But we got, you know, built into this. Then it was like, okay, you know, this is what this offense is going to be. It's going to be AJ and Derek and Julio and Josh Reynolds and Firkser. And you're going to have to pick your poison on this and you'll see. Last year, the Titans had two Pro Bowlers, the entire team, Derek Henry and AJ Brown.
Mm-hmm.
When they went to the playoffs 2 years ago, everybody was talking about two guys, Derek Henry and AJ Brown. And I am convinced that those are the two most important players on the team. The end. They can win without Taylor Lewan. They've proven that.
Mm-hmm.
They can win without Roger Saffold. He gets hurt every game. They can win without Jarrell Casey. They can win without Jeffrey Simmons. They can win without Logan Ryan. They can win without Malcolm Butler. They can win without Christian Fulton. They can win without... They can't win without Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. And while I agree with a lot of people that will sit there and say, hey, this team plays up to their opponents, the Bills, down to their opponents, the Jets. I will agree with a lot of people that that's probably true, that this team does have a hard time of getting up for the lesser known opponents, that I am worried about how they'll work this week, given the emotion of the two wins and the physical toll of the two wins. While I am worried about that for the Colts game, the thing, when I look at how they lost to the Jets, because I'm watching Sunday Night Football last night on the pregame show, and they're like, and Tennessee looks to be one of the contenders in the AFC, but hey, they lost to the Jets. I'm like, look, A.J. Brown didn't play that game. Tannehill got sacked 7 times in that game. And we had all this talk about, is it the line? Is it Tannehill holding onto the ball too long? Is it the receivers? And I talked to an offensive coach who has been, you know, an offensive coordinator in the NFL who I think knows the Titans pretty well. And he told me, without putting his finger down on anything, that it was basically everything. And on one of these sacks in the Jets game, Josh Reynolds didn't get open. Tannehill had to hold on to the ball. He got sacked. Did Tannehill hold on to it too long? Did the guy who got beat not block his guy? Did Reynolds? Did you notice the touchdown pass to A.J. Brown? A.J. wasn't open when Tannehill threw that ball.
He got open.
A.J. was man for man with the guy, and Tannehill knew, I'm going to throw it up there, and A.J.'s going to beat that guy out for the football, and he did. And so while I do agree that the Titans as a team do struggle with the playing up and down to their opponents, I think while it's very easy to say, hey, I know sometimes we can beat whoever, but we can also lose to the Jets, let's remember A.J. didn't play that game. Because that's how valuable AJ is to this team. All the other guys, Julio can miss a game. I don't want Julio to miss games. Julio can miss a game. They'll be fine. Firkser can miss games. They'll be fine. Michael Pruitt can miss games. Josh Reynolds can be inactive. They can do. Chester Rogers missed yesterday. AJ. That's the difference. And so, I mean, let's say Derek didn't play against the Jets. Let's say AJ played and Derek didn't. Well, wouldn't we be sitting here saying, well, they lost, but Derrick Henry didn't play. And I think that now I've realized over the last 2 weeks in these two big wins where AJ has been downright dominant, that he is not as important as Derek, but he very clearly is the number two.
And I hear you when you say, you know, if Tannehill would have had a surefire target, a target that he really trusted, he maybe wouldn't have held on to the ball that long and would have saved himself a few sacks. Mm-hmm. But that offensive line against the Jets was absolutely terrible.
But so, you but it's the same guys.
Okay, but that
it's actually
guys
even worse because Lawan's
because
out.
They don't have Lawan.
Because Bobby freaking Hart. Do you know who Bobby Hart is?
No.
Do you know where Bobby Hart went to school?
No.
Have you ever heard of Bobby Hart?
No.
Bobby Hart played left tackle yesterday for the Titans. Apparently, they claimed him off waivers off the Bills practice squad last week. And he played left tackle yesterday.
Okay.
So you're going to tell me that the Jets, who don't have Frank Clark and don't have Chris Jones, that the Jets defensive line just overpowered the Titan offensive line that day.
Well, they sacked Ryan Tannehill 7 times to the Chiefs one.
Because A.J. Brown wasn't there. Because on that ball in the end zone where Tannehill threw it up, that touchdown to A.J. yesterday, it was a beautiful throw and it was a beautiful catch.
Yes.
Like, it was one of those ones where literally everything was great. You saw it. And, like, in sports, we like to do this, right? Like, who's more responsible for the Patriots dynasty? Is it Brady or is it Belichick? And nobody can ever say, well, like, it's both. Like, nobody can ever say that. That was a beautiful throw by Tannehill.
It was.
He stood in the pocket, and he put the ball up.
And he knew where A.J. Brown was going to be before A.J. Brown was there.
It was a beautiful catch by A.J., where A.J. was man for man. Tannehill knew what he was doing and knew where he was throwing the ball as soon as it was snapped. This wasn't like Tannehill was like, got the ball, saw man coverage, recognized the man coverage, then put it up because he saw A.J. open. I saw the Cedric Tillman touchdown mm-hmm. for Tennessee on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
In order for you to be open in college, you got to be like wide open with your hand in the air saying, I'm open. That's not how the NFL works. And so when the quarterback doesn't trust Josh Reynolds or Nick Westbrook-Akina, he's not throwing that ball to Nick Westbrook-Akina. He's not everything he wants to throw to those guys are slants where they're wide open in the middle of the field and he can just put it out in front and they can just catch it and run with it. But this right here where, hey, you got the guys, I see Johnny on you, that ball's going up there to you, that's when you trust that guy out there. And so he doesn't get, my point is that line doesn't give up 7 sacks if A.J. Brown's out there because the ball's coming out sooner because he's putting it up for A.J. to go get. That's my whole point. That's why AJ is so valuable. And the last 2 weeks have proven it. Because when push came to shove and they had to move the ball against Buffalo and Buffalo was so scared of Derrick Henry, he went AJ, 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 Nick Westbrook-Akina, AJ. And yesterday, AJ, 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 AJ. Like, that's my point is...
No, I hear
you. I'm not excusing the Jets' loss. I am not. They should have won that game. But, like, when that offensive coordinator tells me, look, it's not about, oh, the left tackle's no good, the right tackle's no good, the Tannehill's holding on the ball, it all plays together. And that one play yesterday where he threw it up there, that is the difference between having an A.J. Brown and not having an A.J. Brown. And maybe I owe an apology because they lost the Jets game and Robbie and Retro were, well, if they had A.J. and Julio out there, and I'm like, uh-uh. We're not doing that today because you should have beat the Jets without them. But I do feel confident that if A.J. Brown plays that game, that they win. And that maybe, like...
It's tough to say that.
I don't want to give... It's not tough for me to say that. They went to overtime with the Jets, and I think they easily would have won with A.J. But, I mean, injuries are going to happen in the NFL. I think more so, like, when you buy jerseys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you buy jerseys... I was walking on the bridge yesterday to the stadium, and I'm looking around, and every Chiefs jersey is a Mahomes jersey, every single one.
Yeah.
But they got other good players. But I'm looking around, and most Titans jerseys are a Henry. But then I saw a Julio.
There's some Tannehills.
And then I saw a Byard, and I saw a Lawan. But, like, what I'm telling you is that the only two jerseys that matter are Henry and Brown. And, I mean, Tannehill's like the quarterback, and if Logan Woodside had to play quarterback, he's probably going to lose. So throw him in there, too. But... That's my point is that, like, I don't think that anybody's on Derek's level because Derek is the most valuable player, in my opinion, in the entire league. But I think there's a second level, and I think that's AJ. That his value to this team is more important than anybody else that you consider to be a star player. his value is more so than anybody else's. And it totally changes the game. He totally changes the game. His Tannehill's trust in him, the fact that he produces, the fact that I guarantee you that after this, now I really want to see the Rams game. Like, and I know that the Colts are obviously a bigger game than the Rams game for 1,000 reasons. But I want to see what happens when Jalen Ramsey gets put on him in that Rams game, because that's what's going to happen. Because you'd have to be crazy not to put Jalen Ramsey and just stick him on A.J. Brown and say, hey, I think I got the best corner in the league. Go on A.J. and see how A.J. responds or how the Titans respond to that. But, I mean, the last two games, I think the proof's in the pudding that A.J. Brown is a big difference maker. And I mean a big one. Not a, well, you'd rather have more good players than less good players. Like a, you win with him, you lose without him kind of thing.
And I think also at the time the Titans played the Jets, we hadn't really seen A.J. Brown have the kind of game that he had against the Chiefs and against the Bills.
No, he had the
drops. He had some drop balls. You know, he wasn't the A.J. Brown as of late. So I think that was easier for us to say that having A.J. Brown and Julio Jones wouldn't have made a difference in the Jets game at that point in time because we hadn't seen classic A.J. Brown. Now, seeing what we've seen from him this season that mirrors his 2020, his 2019 seasons, it feels easier to say that. I just don't know if I'm completely convinced that A.J. Brown would have been the difference between 7 sacks and not 7 sacks.
Oh, I think A.J. Brown. I mean, I'm looking at it like you lost the game by 3 points in overtime. Does A.J. Brown make that difference there? And I think
Very likely he could. I think he does.
I think he's one of those players who makes that kind of difference. And you know me, I don't get too hyped over these guys that don't make a difference. I wanted to cut Roger Saffold and Ben Jones before they went into free agency. And everybody's like, what are we going to do without Ben Jones? I'm like, he gets hurt every game. Just go get another center. I mean, you don't have to get the best center in the NFL, but just go get another
just
center
get a
in free
body.
Agency. Well, not a practice squad guy, but like there's going to be a guy who's cut off of another team who's got 4 years experience in the league that'll come in here for $3-4 million, bring that guy in, save the $4 million on Ben Jones. Like, that's what I looked at. Saffold's hurt every game. They can win without Saffold. I hate to say it. Now, I'd rather have Saffold than not have Saffold. They can win without him. I think the reason they lost to the Jets, not the reason, but I think they win if A.J. plays. And maybe I did not give A.J. enough credit for that when he got hurt because his start to the season was the drops in Seattle, the hamstring injury, and they won those two games. But now I'm convinced. I'm convinced he's another dimension of this offense. We're taking your phones because I see him. 615-737-1025. Titans Monday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Buying a car can be overwhelming, especially now that the demand is back and in full swing. Lucky for you, my friends at Edmunds have been taking the stress out of car shopping for over 50 years. Edmunds editors drive over 500,000 miles every year, testing thousands of hours on hundreds of new vehicles. They review almost every car on the market and rank the best ones in each category so you can narrow your search and compare options side by side to find the best vehicles for you. When you're ready, Edmunds makes it easy to find options in your area with accurate price estimates. They've got their top-rated awards, which are selected by Edmunds editors based on extensive testing and a rankings process, which considers performance, comfort, technology, fuel economy, and value. I absolutely love Edmunds for finding a car, and you should too. Edmunds is here to guide you to your perfect vehicle. Visit Edmunds.com to see their best car rankings and search for vehicles near you. That's EDMUNDS.com for cars. There's Edmunds.
Yeah, it feels great. You know, like you said, there's been other stretches where we've been in a groove, and we did some good things today. So, like I said, we just need to stay the course, keep building on what we did. There's still a lot of things that we got to clean up today. You know, we didn't come out and execute well in the second half. You know, they knew we were going to try to run it and wear down the clock and burn Derek and get him as many carries as we can. And we didn't execute well enough to run out the clock and sustain first downs there in the second half. So we still have a lot of growth to get from this, but we did some good things and can build on it moving forward, no doubt.
There you go. That was Tannehill yesterday. They did do some good things. They do need to fix some things. And, I mean, I don't want to go on this rant about the Chiefs' defense, but
it's pretty bad.
Remember Jason Anderson, the midday show host in Kansas City, that told me, hey, the defense in Kansas City is not as bad as the stats make it look?
I think it's as bad as the stats make it look.
It's awful. Let's go to your phones, as promised. 615-737-1025. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and by Focus, the sparkling water with a spark. I've got my Focus right here. I actually just took down a little Focus because I am on fire today. Adam, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, get us started this hour. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, I'm so proud of that football team. I'm just excited. We were supposed to get roasted. I don't think in 22 years I've ever seen such a rounded performance against the team that we were supposed to lose to. So you see Travis Kelce walk away frustrated yesterday. I watched that replay. That dude had no case, man, for that. Like, just frustrating a team that's supposed to be that good. That offense is supposed to be that good. It's so positive. I will say, I know you guys have touched on pass rush and everything looks better. Our field goal kicker's making 51-yard field goals. Our punter's hitting the 3-yard line. Like, special teams is really buttoned up. We didn't need it as much yesterday, I don't guess. But you think about it, man, Mahomes had to start inside the 5 a few times, you know, in a game where they weren't clicking. So I thought special teams is wildly overrated yesterday.
So I appreciate your call, Adam. I'll say this about special teams. I mean, we all know Kern's a good punter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought that was some of his best work that we've seen lately. But we all know Kern's a good punter. He's a, you know, perennial Pro Bowl punter. I never had a problem with Randy Bullock. Like,
reliable.
He's not going to – I mean, he hit from 51 yesterday.
Yeah.
You can't expect him to go out and hit a 51-yarder. That's not his game. But he'll hit 42, 46, 43, 42, 40. He's going to hit those. Like that, he's going to make them. So, I mean, that's fine. I didn't like the kick return where they got tackled at the 15 and Kari Blasingame got hurt. And I think ultimately special teams eventually is going to be a problem. Like, I think that that's going to be an issue, you know, the special teams. I'm not going to bang on them today because they didn't do too much. But, I mean, last week they got Cam Batson hurt for the year because he ran into a guy on a kick return.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday they got Kari Blasingame hurt on a kick return. And it just, I don't think special teams are very buttoned up. And I do think it's going to cost you a game at some point. I mean, what the special teams we're looking at right now. As far as being proud of the team, I think you should be proud of the team today. I mean, I look at it like this. When you win in sports, it's easy at the end of a season to say, hey, that team was no good. And I got to be honest, there's a chance Kansas City doesn't make the playoffs. The way that we were talking on Friday was like with this assumption that, hey, with 7 teams in the AFC, surely the Chiefs with that quarterback are going to be one of the 7. I don't feel that way today. I mean, I think there's a lot of issues with the Kansas City Chiefs. But I'm not on Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City, so they can discuss that there. I feel personally like it's kind of like college football. You beat the number 3 team in the country, and then you find out that the number 3 team in the country is really an 8-4 team. But when you beat the number 3 team in the country, they weren't 8-4 then. They thought they were the number 3 team in the country. Kansas City, after they beat Washington 31-13, albeit, I told you, I saw that game and I thought, oh, they're not very good. And I said, like, something's not right with this team. But they thought they were good. They thought, hey, a couple bumps early, we're going to get on a roll. Like, we always get on a roll, we'll be fine. And now I think Kansas City's reevaluating themselves, saying, well, maybe we're not going to be fine. But they didn't know that when the ball was kicked off yesterday. So I think you should feel good about your team. I think you can today look at your football club and be as proud as you've been of them at any time outside of, like, the Steve and Eddie days where wins like this were kind of expected. Like, nobody around the country would have picked the Titans to win yesterday. But we all in Nashville knew, hey, the Titans can beat anybody. And then the Titans would go out there and win these games, and we'd be like, we told you. Like, we're good enough to win these games. You know, as a fan, that's how I felt. You're not there yet. But I think as far as being excited about the season, being excited about your team, all those things are in play.
Oh, absolutely.
What do we have in the text line?
Elliot texts in and says, Bud Dupree is showing us how valuable he is. When he has played healthy, he has turned our defensive line into a force. Without him, Mahomes has time and is exposing our corners.
So I don't think Bud Dupree took over the game like he was Javon Curse or anything. Who, by the way, I saw at the game yesterday.
Oh, nice.
And every time I see the freak, his hand, I used to play first base in high school.
Uh-huh.
When I shake his hand, I feel like I'm putting my hand in a first baseman's mitt. But he had some really, really nice things to say about Floyd. So he and I were talking about Floyd for a little bit. And it was good to see the freak yesterday.
Nice.
At the game. So I'm not saying Bud Dupree is like the freak, where yesterday every play he went out there was fantastic. But the first drive of the game, Titans get the football. Oh, my God. We're never going to hear the end of this from Chris Sanders, that they got the football to start the game and it set the tone.
The coin toss, yeah.
So the Titans get the football, and they march right down the field, and Derrick Henry throws the pop pass to Pruitt for the touchdown. Up 7-0. Well, I'm sitting in my seat. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm sitting in my seat, and I'm like, okay, here come the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are moving the football. You know, first it's a gain of 5 on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a gain of 7 in the air. Then it's a gain of 8. Then it's a 2nd and 2, gain of 2, first down. First down and 10. Now they got a false start. Their line, not so great. They get the false start. Then they gain 6 yards. Then they gain 2, 3rd and 7 at the 50. And I'm like, okay, 3rd and 7 at the 50 with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Now, I was at Arrowhead Stadium. When I watched every time like this, I used to say, please get them off the field on this throw. And then they gained 16 yards. I watched Mahomes drop back, and I saw the play, and I'm like, okay, here come the Chiefs. And then I see Bud Dupree's red out of nowhere, red gloves or red arm brace or what, come out and whack Mahomes from behind, and he didn't see it. And because I sit on the side of the stadium that is opposite the side that Dupree rushes from, I saw it. I saw him coming, and I see that hand go up.
Like the Jaws theme song starts yes. to play.
Yes.
It's like Danger Zone, Patrick Mahomes.
And I see that Dupree paw come in right at the football and go whap. And I see the ball on the ground. And I literally, at that moment in time, and I tweeted it out yesterday, I said, this changes everything. Mm-hmm. If he's going to do that, then in third and obvious passing downs with a mobile quarterback, which is what Mahomes is, mm-hmm. if he's going to get to the quarterback on the blind side and hit the quarterback or strip the quarterback, or the threat of him stripping the quarterback is there, it changes everything. Because if you were an offensive line coach or an offensive coordinator playing the Titans and you had to scheme against a player on the defensive line, it would have to be Harold Landry right now. You would have to be worried about that on the side. And here comes Bud doing what he was paid to do. This was a pay what you owe moment. And he came through, and I think that set the tone for the entire game. And like I said, I think if Bud can do that consistently, it is a game changer. So I'm not getting all worked up because I thought Autry had a great game, just like Bud had a great game. Landry had a great game, mm-hmm. just like Bud had a great game.
Rashawn Evans had a pretty solid game.
Evans made the interception that David Long Jr. But if this is consistent with Bud, now everything changes about how we feel about the Titans. In my opinion, that is one of the things that can totally change it all around. We're back to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. Let me tell all the fine folks out there, again, Reaction Monday here on Stillman and Company, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus, the sparkling water with a spark. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Wednesday as Nashville SC takes on Cincinnati. Pregame starts at 6:15 and the match begins at 6:30. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Three takeaways today. Seems like they've been coming in bunches. Is that just a matter of doing the same things and now the ball kind of falling?
Well, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think we're just trying to chart and track attempts, you know, and again, you know, everybody's screaming for Kevin to hammer it, and it was only a matter of time before he got over there and, you know, and did that. But you just have to keep, you know, going after the attempts. You have to keep, you know, staying on your feet when you rush and the quarterback pumps it. But that's the guy we got to take it away from. You know, that's got to be the number one target every week.
There you go. Vrabel says, hey, we've been working on it, but Beyer did punch the ball out from Patrick Mahomes. I thought that was kind of icing on the cake right there. I didn't think that was like a game-changing play. Like, I think the game was kind of determined then.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was really, you know, putting your foot on the Chiefs after you had them down, just kind of kicking them down there while they're down, which mm-hmm. I'm for. And I will say this. You beat the Chiefs 2 years ago at Nissan Stadium. It was a fluky, everything had to go right. They had to screw up. Everything had to go wrong, kind of. You just kicked their butts.
There was no fluke to that.
No.
There was no blown call.
Back to your phone, 615-737-1025.
Well, last segment we talked a lot about Bud Dupree, but Chip from Mount Juliet says that Danico Autry is the best offseason signing.
Jared's up, pick to click yesterday on the pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. I love the Autry signing the second it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that when you go back to this football team, when they were good in the Steve and Eddie days, those defensive linemen, and they rotated them, but those defensive linemen, Jim Washburn was the defensive line coach. And you talk to any of these people that covered the team back then, Willie and Darren and Mark Howard, and you talk to these guys about Jim Washburn as defensive line coach, Curse, Hainsworth, Vanden Bosch, Kevin Carter. But then it's the other guys too, like Jason Fisk and Joe Salavea and Henry Ford and Robert Smith. And like those guys, they could rotate them in and out all the time. Javon Curse broke his foot week one of the 2002 season. They put in a seventh round draft pick from Arkansas by the name of Carlos Hall. And he went out to have like 10 sacks that year. And they just defensive line, defensive line, defensive line. When I went to training camp, and I used to always think that football practice was more complicated than anything else, and I've decided that it's really not. Like, I went the first couple of, this is the first year where I went like pretty much every day to training camp. And I noticed right away, Kendall Lamb's not going to be the right tackle. Dylan Radin stinks, which that's a whole nother thing. Dylan Radin stinks. Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers are going to make the team. And I kept talking about the defensive line depth. And I kept saying, you know, they got Tart and Murchison and Simmons and Autry. And I'm like, they can just keep rolling these guys in and out, and they can stay fresh throughout the course of the game as opposed to playing Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry on every snap like they had to last year. And I think that's been a factor. But I have always liked Autry. I thought Autry was a huge piece to the Colts puzzle. And I know they gave DeForest Buckner all that money, but would you even want Michael Jordan if you couldn't have Scottie Pippen? Like, yeah. Would you really want, like, do you really think you'd win the NBA title every year if you didn't have Scottie Pippen next to Michael Jordan? I don't think you would. Like, I think you've got to have those players. And I think that Autry was the perfect complement to Buckner. So to take Autry away from them and make him the perfect complement next to Simmons, I think is a big deal. I think Autry's been awesome. I love the signing when they made it, and he's done everything that I thought that he'd come in here and do. He'd be good against the run. He'd solidify the line. He'd sack the quarterback a little, and he's done all of that. And he's only making $7 million. All these other guys you got to pay are making $15 million, $18 million, $30 million, and he's making $7 million. What's next?
Weston in Columbia texts in and says, we beat a team that isn't very good. Kansas City isn't the same team they were 2 years ago. They aren't even the same team they were last year. Titans played good, but they still don't look like a team that can win the Super Bowl. Definitely not if you compare them to the Bucks or the Rams or the Cardinals.
Can we compare them to the Bills?
Yeah, and they beat the Bills.
Okay. So I told you that in order to win the Super Bowl, you're going to have to win that Bills game three or four times. Well, the Chiefs may not be a playoff team, but when the Chiefs walked in here yesterday, they and everybody else, in spite of their losses, thought that they were the defending AFC champions, the two-time defending AFC champions, and they were. I mean, I don't take away from Georgia's win over Clemson because Clemson stinks, because when Georgia beat Clemson, we thought that was a monumental, humongous win for Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Now we probably look at it and say, Georgia didn't win by enough.
I said that exact thing on Saturday. I said, how did Georgia only beat Clemson by a touchdown? This team sucks.
But they don't know that then. And I think yesterday, if Kansas City is in fact a bad team, I think yesterday was the moment where they kind of learned, oh, crap, we suck. And we've talked about those moments that we've had in times where you look at it and you're like, man, we're not very good. And that was that moment right there.
But the fact that even after the Chiefs lost to the Bills, we thought this Chiefs team is still going to make the playoffs. Even after this Chiefs team lost to the Ravens, we thought this Chiefs team was still going to make the playoffs. So it's not like coming in here, we were like, yeah, you know, the sorry, good for nothing Chiefs.
No,
and now all of a sudden we're
that.
Celebrating it.
Nobody said that.
Nobody said that
except optimistic Chris Sanders, who picked the Titans to win. Coming up next here on Stillman & Company, speaking of those Chiefs, do we knock this win because of Kansas City? What do we make of that? We'll get to that coming up next. TriStar Moving. Those are my official movers. I moved a year ago, almost a year ago, like 50 weeks ago, I moved with TriStar Moving. And I'm still talking about it today. Why? Because it was an unbelievable move. And I think everybody I know absolutely hates moving. But now, whenever I move, people are like, hey, do you know a good mover? I'm like, TriStar, here's their number. Talk to them. TriStar Moving. That's why their motto is TriStar Movers with five-star service. From the initial phone call to the final signature, moving was a breeze. They did a great job. They protected everything. They protected my old home, my new home, everything. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians, and they want to help out their consumers because those are their neighbors just like me and you. That's why they are the real deal and on the rise quickly because of the high standard that they hold. So if you're looking to move, just get a bid. Call my friends at TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219. Visit their website at nashvillemoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, nashvillemoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving.